Our next major task is to shine a light on violent behavior. We can confront it, challenge it, and find alternatives. It's one thing to condemn violent behavior and judge violent people, but if we stop there, we just allow the cycle of violence to keep grinding away. What's called for is another step. That step involves balance. We can hold men accountable for violence. We can demand that they change. At the same time, we can support them while they change. We can lay out alternatives to violence. We can take the time to be with them, to listen to them, to help them unload their training. Most of all, we can learn with them. In our day-to-day relationships, we can model alternatives to violence. Saying all this is one thing, applying it is another. Let's look at a couple of situations that can help us make the transition. First is a role play, one that dramatizes another facet of violence. It involves a man just coming home from work. The woman he lives with is cooking dinner.
What a day. Why is this place a mess?
Have a hard day, honey? Mine was too. I just got home. Try to relax a little before dinner.
How can I relax when I have a stack of papers to do tonight? Boss was on my case the minute I walked in the door today.
Oh, that's too bad. Here, have a drink.
What's for dinner anyway?
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti again? We just had spaghetti.
I know. I didn't have time to fix anything else. Tomorrow night, I'll fix you something special.
I won't eat that leftover crap. I'll fix something else.
I can't. I've been called in for a shift at the hospital tonight, and I have to leave real soon.
You what? You're telling me that you're warming up leftovers and then walking out the door? You aren't going anywhere. I want you home with me tonight. I'll tell you what. Let's not get into a fight about it. I'll go down and get a bottle of wine, and you pull out some steaks from the freezer, and we'll have a quiet dinner together.
I can't. Tomorrow night, I'll fix you a nice dinner. Today, I have to go to work or they'll fire me.
Call in sick! It's a hospital. They'll understand
that. We need the money.
Oh, so it's my fault now. And don't push me too far.
That's not what I mean.
You aren't going anywhere.
Ow! Let me go. Please. I have to go. Here's your dinner. I'm leaving now.
You're not going anywhere, bitch.
This scene is difficult for many people. Take a minute to come down from this role play. If you want, go for a break or come back to the tape in a few minutes. And if you've got some strong feelings, talk them over with someone. Now, step inside this situation for a minute. What if the man in the last role play was you? Have you ever done anything like this? Not all of us use physical violence, but many of us can find common ground between this man's expectations and our expectations. What do you do or say to get your way, to stay in control of your partner? It's okay to admit it. You're not alone. It can be hard for us to admit that we have a problem with violence. But there's tremendous power in that admission. For many of us, it's the first time we step out of the act like a man box. That makes it possible to change and to get help when we need it. Now, let's shift gears a minute. Say you're a neighbor to the man in the last role play. You know both him and his wife. They live next door. And you heard the fight through the walls of your apartment. This has happened more than once. You've decided you just can't sit it out anymore. You're going to say something. What would you tell this man? How can you ask him to stop the violence without shutting him down? How could you support his efforts to change while refusing to accept his violent behavior? Think about this now. Better yet, speak your thoughts out loud or write them down. If you're listening to this tape with others, then do a role play yourself. One of you take the part of the man, and someone else take the part of a person confronting him about his violent behavior. Stop the tape and take some time to do this exercise. Come back when you're ready. Keep in mind that there are no right or wrong answers. Here's one way to handle the situation. We'll hear the man from the last role play as he faces some neighbors in his apartment building. These neighbors have heard the fight, and they meet the man as he steps into the hall for a breather.
What was that all about?
What are you talking about?
Oh, that yelling.
She and I just had a little fight, that's all.
Sounded pretty serious to me. You look upset. What happened?
Nothing much. Look, it was just a family thing, and I've taken care of it.
Anybody get hurt?
No, she was about to throw a pot of spaghetti at me, but I stopped her.
Did you hit her?
Oh, me? It was just a little fight. I may have slapped her, is all.
Through the wall, she sounded pretty scared. You could really hurt her.
Hey, look. I'm sorry if we made too much noise. We'll try to keep it down. You two were going at it pretty hard yourself last week.
Yeah, I know what it's like. Coming home and things aren't the way you want, but hitting her's not the way to handle it.
What am I supposed to do? Let her walk all over me? You make it sound like I did something wrong. Don't tell me you're so innocent yourself.
Yeah, I know. I've hit women before, but it just made things worse. Now, I just walk out of the room when I get really pissed. Man, the next time you feel like hitting her, just leave. Cool off. Come knock on my door instead. I know you really don't want to hurt her, and you don't want to end up in jail either.
Notice what happened here. The man's neighbor said two things. First came a challenge. Stop hitting your partner. The costs are too great for both of you. The second message was, there are some other things you can do when you get angry, and we'll help you with that. So, first they hold the man accountable, then they offer support. These two messages can make a real difference when a man's anger gets out of control. Think for a minute about that phrase, out of control. Often when people use these words, they're assuming something. They're assuming that a man should be in control, and that if he's not in control, then he's out of control. What's more, if he's really out of control, then he'll get violent, and he really has no choice in the matter. We challenge this by asking men to take a recent act of violence and go back through it, step by step. Sometimes we ask them to reenact it in detail. Here's an example, a conversation between John and his counselor.
John, describe what happened.
We were in the kitchen, and she was talking at me, and I just lost control and hit her.
Where were you standing?
I was standing here, and she was by the sink.
What was she saying?
She was talking about how we needed money, and she knows I don't like her to criticize how much I make.
What did you do?
I hit her.
Why didn't you kick her?
She's real good at dodging kicks. I tried that.
So you decided not to kick her?
Yeah, I hit her instead.
Was your fist closed?
No, I didn't want to leave a mark. She had to go to work later.
So you decided to hit her with an open palm so you wouldn't leave any marks?
Yeah, and then I left.
Did you do anything else before you left?
Well, I guess I unplugged the phone as I walked out.
Why?
She called the police last time. I didn't want any more of that.
So you thought about what she would do next?
Yeah, and then I went out to the garage.
How did you decide to go there?
Well, I knew the kids were watching TV in the living room, and I didn't want to get them involved. I knew she'd head for the bedroom, so that left the garage.
So you knew where everybody was in the house, and you decided where to go based on that?
Yeah.
In listening to this, we discover something. At crucial points, moment by moment, the man is making decisions about what to do next. He's not just a passive victim of rage. Instead, he's a choosing, thinking human being. So we're learning that violence is a decision men make. This is not a question of being out of control or in control, but of making different decisions when we're angry. Decisions that don't use violence. Sometimes this is hard to hear, but it contains the seeds of choice. For if we're making decisions, it's because we have choices. Just as we decide to be violent, we can choose to stop being violent. We can decide up front that there's no situation that justifies hitting a man, a woman, or a child. And in the heat of anger, we can flash that decision through our minds. Moreover, we can ask other men to make that decision and hold them to it. Now I'd like to guide you through another exercise. Take some time to answer the following questions, based on your own experience and what you've heard so far in this tape. There are no right or wrong answers, because each man and each circumstance is different. However, thinking through these questions can make your response more effective. As before, write down a short answer to each question, or discuss your ideas with another person or with a group. Stop the tape at any point whenever you need more time. Do you know of any man, a friend or family member, who is beating or molesting someone less powerful than he? What is dangerous about this situation for the people involved? Would it be dangerous for you to intervene? What could happen? How can you confront the abusive man about his behavior? How and when could you do that safely? How could you be a friend to this man while holding him accountable for his violence? What can you do to support the person being abused? Is there anyone else who can help you with these tasks? Who is that? Once we admit our own problems with violence and ask for help, it's easier for us to help other men. It's not easy to reach out to a man who's violent, but it's important. That man could be you or me. Now it's time to find alternatives to violence. It's time to learn new skills and practice them. Let's start with anger. After all, anger and violence seem so closely linked that it's hard to separate them. As men, what do we do with our anger? In our workshops, we hear answers like these.
Nothing.
Go for a walk.
Watch the tube.
Go shoot some hoops.
Walk away.
Read the paper.
Go for a drive. A fast drive.
Go have a beer.
Go shoot up.
Get pissed.
Call her names.
Hit the wall.
Hit her.
Hit the kid.
Take a pill.
I get real quiet.
Hit the bar.
Kick over a chair.
So, there's a wide range of responses to anger. Some of them are violent. Others are not. That tells us something important. The problem is not anger. It's violence. Anger is a natural human emotion. It's a response to situations that are abusive or life-threatening. Anger can be a clue to powerlessness. It can move us into action in our community. Used properly, anger can serve us. The problem comes when anger turns into violence. As men, we've been taught to turn pain into anger and anger into violence. That's destructive. And it puts us right back in the act like a man box. What's more, anger too often carries the weight of our other emotions. When we're hurt, we often get angry. When we're sad, we get angry. When we want help, we get angry instead. Sometimes men even deny that they're angry. They say things like this.
I never get angry. I'm real laid back.
I don't care.
What do you mean I'm angry?
Do whatever you want. I don't give a damn.
What I think never matters around here anyway.
I don't know why I bothered to say anything.
So one of our basic tasks is to work with anger. Not to stuff it or deny it, but to let it come to the surface and work with it. Here's an exercise that will get you started. It's in a slightly different format than the previous exercises. First, I'll mention a skill for working with anger or preventing violence. Then I'll ask a question or suggest an action you can take to apply that skill. If you need extra time to respond to a question, then just stop the tape and come back when you're ready. It can take at least several weeks to develop these skills, to develop alternatives to violence. Now is the best time to start. Let's begin with self-awareness. This is the ability to know when you are angry. My suggestion is that you keep a log for the next week. Note each time you get angry. How do you know when you're angry? How does your body feel when you are angry? Next, be aware of what triggers your anger. Are there certain words, people, or situations that you usually feel angry about? Describe them. Now, describe what you do when you get angry. What do you say? How do you act? Think back for a minute to how your parents got angry. Do you see any parallels between your anger and theirs? If so, describe them. An important skill is taking a time out when we get angry and start to feel violent. This means leaving the situation we're angry about, walking out of the room, going outside, taking a walk. If we can't leave, then we can turn our attention away, shut our eyes, face the other direction, take a deep breath. These are just a few ideas. You can probably think of more yourself. Don't use the timeout, however, to build your rage. Use it to calm down and find solutions to the conflict that work for everyone. Take a moment now to decide what kind of timeout would work best for you. Describe what you will do. And then practice taking a timeout during the week. A related skill is remembering that we can still make choices when we get angry. Think about a recent time when you got angry and about how you acted. Retrace your steps, recalling three specific choices you made at that time. Choices about what to do or say at a certain moment. Now, what else could you have done or said at those three points? As a final self-awareness skill, list two or three areas in your life where you feel ongoing stress. Job, family life, friendships, money, or anything else. Pick one of those areas. Name one action you could take to change the thing you feel stressed about. Could you take that action today? If not, what do you need to do or learn first? Do you need any help or support to take that action? List one person who could help you. Let's move on to a second set of skills, communication skills. To work out conflict without violence, we need to listen to what others say. Even more, we need to try to understand why they're saying it and appreciate the fact that they're telling it to us. That helps to pave the way for a solution. During the week, practice listening carefully and respectfully to family members and friends. Notice what gets in the way. Another skill is the ability to talk about what's happening inside of you. Once we've heard the other person, we need to respond and communicate our own feelings directly. During the next week, practice telling your partner or friends how you feel. Use simple sentences to start with, "I feel." "I feel sad." "I feel excited." "I feel happy." In fact, try this now. How do you feel at this moment? Now, take your I statements a step farther. Practice stating what you feel without blaming others. Instead of saying, You're never there when I need you. Say, I wanted to talk to someone last night, and I didn't know where you were. Instead of saying, you always leave this place a mess. Say, I feel frustrated when it takes so much time to pick up around here. Think of a person or situation you're frustrated with right now. Write one non-blaming statement you could use to communicate your feelings. It's also important to handle rejection without getting violent. It's a fact that we don't always get what we want. However, no one can take away all our choices in any given situation. Even when our first choice falls through, we can usually find other options. And no matter what happens, turning our frustration, disappointment, and anger into violence towards oneself or someone else will not get us a job. Another skill is simply making a request. Instead of getting angry and blaming others when they fail to meet our expectations, we can ask them to change in a specific way. For example, change the sentence, "It really pisses me off when I can't get a hold of you on the phone." You could say, "Would you tell me what the best times are to reach you? Then I'll know when to call." Take a moment to apply what you've just heard. Write a request you could make to a person you're angry with right now. Now, see if you can get inside someone else's head for a minute. Ask a person who's close to you about how you come across when you're angry. Ask if you are intimidating in any way. Find out how this person sees you. Just ask for feedback and don't respond to it for now. Finally, think about that feedback. Did it surprise you? Do you want to make any changes in your behavior as a result? Describe one change that you can make. If you've worked through this tape, you've covered a lot of ground. Let's review the three main points again. My first aim is to show you how men are trained in violence. I also want to show you that we can refuse to accept that violence, even as we accept ourselves. And finally, we can learn skills to prevent violence. Remember that men don't have to be violent. No boy has willingly asked for training in violence. It takes a lot of work to put us inside the box. You and I can do it differently. You and I can break the cycle of violence. We can get off the treadmill and unlearn what we've learned. We can take a stand against violence and act effectively in the world without being abusive. If this seems like a lot of work, well, it is. Don't expect to get it all at once. I hope you'll feel free to come back to this tape. Work through it several times. You can also use my book, Men's Work, which goes into more detail about all the topics covered on this tape. Do this work with other men, with women, and with your families. Use this whole issue of male violence to forge some alliances, to bring people closer together. And do this work with lightness, humor, and joy. Then, expand what you learn into your community. Stopping violence means more than personal growth. It means sharing what we learn, bringing it into our families, our friends, and our communities. Here are some questions to help you do that. Respond to them as you've done with the other exercises on this tape. What can you say the next time you hear a man make a comment about a woman's body? How can you respond when you see someone denied housing or employment or treated unfairly at your job because of their race or gender? What's the most helpful thing you could say to a male friend who's struggling with his own violence? How can you respond when you hear someone use one of the phrases from the Act Like a Man or Act Like a Woman box? What groups in your community are working to remove the sources of violence that we've talked about? What's one thing you can do within the next week to support one of those groups? Would you be willing to join a group? Which one? Now, remember the father in the role play at the beginning of this tape, the one who hit his son. How can you pass on what you've learned to your children or other children you know? Think about one skill you have for working with anger or preventing violence. How can you help a child learn this skill? One more reminder. If you have a history of violence, you may need professional help. Take time to find such a resource in your community. You can start by calling a county social service agency or a local church, synagogue, or temple. Many cities have a service called First Call for Help. You can call this number and ask for help in finding what you want. Thanks for listening and for taking action. Keep in mind that we can support each other in this work. We're all in this together. As men, we're in various stages of letting go of our training. We're feeling our way outside the box. It's new territory. And sometimes there are no clear maps. It takes time. Even so, each of us can say, "The cycle of violence stops with me. I will not pass on the pain." Now is the time to take a stand for an end to violence. That stand is for our children, for the women and other men in our lives, and most of all, that stand is for ourselves, because truly, our lives are at stake.